You are listening to The State of Sustainability, a podcast that highlights sustainability initiatives throughout the state and develops a casual conversation about environmental stewardship that the average person can understand and replicate. I'm your host, Caleb Powell.
And I'm your co-host, Ashley Caprera.
So today is part two, I guess today, this month, is part two of the Higher Sustainability in Higher Education series, if you will. Last month we started this little series, and this month we are ending it, so it's just a two-part series. But last month we talked with
Olivia Heron from Austin Peay State University. So we got to hear about all the great things happening on their campus, and just really cool just example that other universities can follow.
Yeah. And so today we are going to be talking, you know, last month it was more what, you know, actual universities can do and are doing. And then this month we have Brooke Powell from our office to talk about the various higher education sustainability initiatives that we do in our office. And then also the Campus Food Pantry Grant, which I think is a really, really cool grant that we've got. So before we start, I did want to introduce Brooke. Brooke is an environmental scientist with the Office of Policy and Sustainable Practices. She manages the Tennessee Higher Education Sustainability Initiative, which she'll be talking about today. And that encompasses three programs that support the schools and local underserved communities. These programs include the Tennessee College / Underserved Community Partnership Program, the Tennessee Higher Education Sustainability Network, and the Campus Food Pantry Program. She is proficient in GIS and assists with developing and updating maps for several of the office's programs to reflect program outreach. She holds a Bachelor's of Science degree in Geosciences from Middle Tennessee State University, whoop whoop, go MTSU, and is currently pursuing a Master's in Education at UT Martin. Brooke's prior experience and training includes 10 years in the environmental regulatory sector and 4 years conducting groundwater tracing and GIS mapping Tennessee's underground waterways. So with all that being said, I would like to welcome our guest, Brooke Powell. How are you doing today, Brooke?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Good. Just a little soggy over here. All the remnants from the hurricane is just beating us down and bringing a bunch of rain in here. But I know everyone's probably thinking, are Caleb and Brooke related? And everyone, no, we're not. We're not cousins. We joke around in the office that we are cousins, but we just have the same last names. So I'm glad. I know everyone was wondering. And Brooke, what I wanted to start with today is to ask you to give an overview of the TN Cup, and that's spelled TNCUPP program, and highlight one of the projects that has participated.
Great. The acronym is TNCUP, and that stands for Tennessee College and Underserved Community Partnership Program. So we are actually the first state to have a state-run CUP program that is modeled after the EPA's CUP program in Region 4. And really exciting, wanted to add to that, that we now have another state that is looking to have their own program at a state level and model Tennessee's TNCUP. So basically what this program is it works to establish partnerships between underserved communities and Tennessee higher education institutions. So through these partnerships, this program utilizes the expertise of students at higher ed institutions to provide low to no cost technical support and manpower to address environmental, economic, and health issues that impact the quality of life. And through the partnerships, everybody really benefits with this program. So communities benefit from innovative and no-cost technical assistance provided by the students. Professors and students benefit by gaining hands-on experience in their areas of study. And some students can even earn college credit, build their resumes, And then also professors gain recognition for their department and university. So it's just really an all-around win for this program. And I believe you asked also one of the projects. So one that comes to mind that we just completed is in the town of Gainesboro. That is a project that was done by Tennessee Tech students in collaboration with the town of Gainesboro and also Jackson County, which is the county in which Gainesboro resides. So with that project, there was significant flooding that occurred in Gainesboro back in June of 2018. And the town is located within one of the watersheds that's been of concern with some of the flooding that has just happened in other areas, such as one of our state parks. And we really wanted to take a watershed approach to the stormwater management. So Tennessee Tech students really did a great job out there pulling together like relevant data and maps on the watershed in the town. And then also sewer and water line maps. But anyways, that was just to characterize the watershed and then put that in layers with local meteorology, I can't say that word today, meteorological data and then details on that stormwater infrastructure. So just to not get even more into the weeds technical, basically what they were able to do is also install some water level loggers that were able to capture real-time water levels in their creeks and also a weather station. So it was really helpful for Gainesboro because they were able to respond to extreme rain events where the water levels were rising to dangerous levels. And that was so they can then evacuate residents to safety on time. So all of that data they were able to put online and make that accessible for the town of Gainesboro. So that has been really beneficial for them, and the cost that would have been to get a private entity in there to do that work would have just been really hard for Gainesboro to be able to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one of the projects.
So
I have a question. Have any other, and I'm thinking about, you know, what just happened in Waverly with the flooding, have any other cities or counties in Tennessee looked at that project and you know, thought to duplicate it?
You know, that's something that we really want to do with this project here, is to provide a case study in which other communities in similar, rural, not as populated communities can replicate. So that is definitely a goal of ours, Ashley. And, you know, really can see this being duplicated across the state in a lot of communities.
Yeah, it's really cool because it's really bringing, you know, higher ed and the community together to using these young minds, if you will, these students that are excited to learn and then using really just all types of resources to combat different problems. So it's
absolutely,
it seems like a really collaborative program, and I just love. I love when people are working together for a common cause, you know, using their resources. It's really neat.
Absolutely. And I'd also like to add that with this project, when you mentioned the educational benefit for the students, with this project, we also had an ESRI story map that was created, which allowed the Jackson County High School students to learn about the watershed and then also provide feedback on how they would like to become more involved with the project. So it was a project that was an opportunity for the high school students as well to solving those real world problems. And, I'd also like to add that, you know, we're talking about the flooding issue, but this was just one of the examples of like the creative community specific solutions that can qualify for a 10 cup project. So different types of projects that can include is like designing nature trails or rain gardens, green outdoor spaces, even restoring historical landmarks that are owned by the municipality. But it's just a really broad expanse of different types of projects it can encompass.
That's great. And we'll be putting a link in the description of this podcast and then also on our Instagram page so people can look more into what has been done through that program. So to shift gears a little bit, next I was hoping you would talk about the Tennessee Higher Education Sustainability Network and ways that schools can get involved through that.
So a couple years back, we sent out a questionnaire to higher education institutions to ask them ways that TDEC could support them with their sustainability efforts. So over half of them responded that some type of network for institutions across the state that's involved around sustainability helpful, because a lot of the sustainability coordinators in schools are kind of siloed, you know, they just deal with their school. So it was really something that they would be able to reach out to other schools instead of reinventing the wheel on, say, a specific initiative that they're wanting to drive at their institution. So in response to that, we decided to set up this Higher Ed Sustainability Network, and we have a newsletter in which we distribute that 2 times a year, once in the fall semester and then also in the spring. And that just gives a lot of different stories of what's going on at other schools across the state. Different educational opportunities are listed, and that's also on our website, Ashley, where they can go in and sign up to receive that newsletter. And in addition to signing up for that, they will also be added to our listserv. So what that listserv does is it gives schools an opportunity to send out an email asking a question, let's say, about doing a zero waste event. And then they can get feedback directly from the schools instead of having to go through TDEC, and everybody can collaborate all together.
Wow. So one thing that you work on that has a lot of interest to me, and I think that is such a benefit that a lot of people probably don't know about, is the Campus Food Pantry Grant. Can you sort of talk about how that came about and how people can get involved with it?
Yeah, sure. So we were looking for ways to get involved in higher ed. And back in, let's see, it was September 2018, I was actually at a conference and ran into the vice president of Roan State Community College. And in discussing some of the things that they have going on at their school, she mentioned that there was a large number of students that were facing food insecurity. So we just got to brainstorming on that and thought, you know, it would be really great to have an opportunity for schools to have funds to get a campus food pantry established to help the students battle that food insecurity. And then also, we realized that there's a large portion of food that goes to waste that's perfectly good food. So we also added that piece into the mission that a portion of food that the school receives has to be a captured food. And so Roan State was our first pilot. We actually purchased shelving and refrigeration equipment to get them fully operational. And so since opening, students have been able to visit the pantry to not only get food for themselves but their families as well. So we really had a great success with that and decided that we wanted to move forward and offer a campus food pantry grant. So we have just finalized our closing of the grant and announced our awardees, and I'm happy to share that if you're interested.
Yeah, we would love to hear it.
Of course. Yeah, so we have two of our Tennessee College and Applied Technology schools that were approved, and we'll be able to now set up a food pantry on their campus, and that is the TCAT in Elizabethton and then also Jacksboro. So they're really excited about it, and they're doing their work right now to get their space set up, and they're anticipating both opening their food pantries to students this fall.
That's so exciting. All of the work that you do, Brooke, I wish that whenever I was in college, you would have been around and, you started most of these programs and, put so much work into it. I feel like that we would have, I studied sustainability in college. I feel like that we would have maybe met each other before we started working together, if you would have been here doing this kind of stuff. So, Ashley.
Well, thank you. I mean, we've really found a lot of areas where we could work, because it's the schools, there's so many students. So we're not only helping them with their sustainability efforts, but also teaching sustainability to the students and supporting that.
Yeah, and I think that there's a disconnect that if you're going, you're going to college, most people that are, these college students, they're not worried about where their next meal is gonna come from. But in reality, there's a lot of people that are struggling, with families, trying to feed their families, pay for college, work, all that kind of things. And I think that sort of goes sort of unnoticed a little bit. So, kudos to you for understanding that problem and trying to solve it.
Well, thank you. It's been a pure joy to do this type of work. And while we know that this isn't going to solve student food insecurity, we really want to at least help. And also it gives a kind of a springboard for the schools to offer other services, student services, because we just realized that also, financial aid is not meeting all of the needs of the students. So this food pantry grant is really exciting for me. And we do actually anticipate being able to offer the grant again next year.
That was actually, that's what I was going to ask you.
Was that your next question, Caleb?
Well, I'm intrigued. I'm very much intrigued by the grant. I was going to ask, will it be offered? And then is this something you think will keep going forward? I guess it's all dependent on the funding and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's dependent upon the funding. I'm really hoping we are able to. We've actually created a questionnaire that TBR, Tennessee Board of Regents, is going to be distributing to schools to just determine what the needs are, if they've got food pantries, and then also too, if they have existing food pantries, are they looking to expand or improve their facility? Because our first grant was available to just the schools that do not have a food pantry, but we're realizing that some may have a food pantry, but let's say it's just in the space the size of a closet, and we want to be able to expand that for them, and hopefully we'll be able to do something like that. And especially with a lot of the emergency aid that students received through COVID, a lot of that's ended for them, but their circumstances have not. In fact, a lot of them have even more dire circumstances and more food insecurity. So that's why I think this program is so great and so needed.
Yeah, and I wanted to flag something just for anyone that doesn't know. I mean, I know pretty much what's needed on these campuses or these universities to have a food pantry. But so, for example, the ones that got the grant, did they specify what exactly they needed? Are they starting from scratch? Like, what things they need to do for the food pantry to get up and running pretty much?
So the grant, that's a great question, by the way. It covers equipment purchases. So that was a large cost for them, such as like the refrigeration and freezer storage, because a lot of foods that come from sources that offer affordable foods for food pantries have those items that are already frozen or refrigerated. One of the biggest, you know, needs for food pantries is protein. So, you know, that allows the schools to house meats, eggs, cheese, that kind of thing. So it covered that for the refrigeration and freezer, as well as shelving. And it also covers improvements to the space that's needed. But fortunately for both of our schools, this time they have got their space all ready to go. They just needed that help with the equipment purchase and to help them just learn how to set up a food pantry and keep it going.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, I'm glad you explained that, because I feel like it used to be, you know, food pantries, you know, people just thought, okay, shelves of canned foods, and because, you know, that is easiest to keep in a food pantry and they don't have to worry about it going bad. But it's more and more that, you know, farmers are donating food, whether it's produce, or gleaning organizations like Society of St. Andrew are working with universities and getting produce to them, whatever it may be. And so it's happening more and more that food pantries, whether at colleges or elsewhere, are needing that, you know, needing that refrigeration or the ability to freeze the food.
Right, because different things can come in bulk. It's just the nature of the food. You know, when it becomes available to an entity such as Second Harvest, you know, they don't know necessarily what they'll be receiving. They might receive bulk items such as around the holidays. I know Roan State had that occurrence where they were able to get a lot of turkeys and hams around the holidays, and they were able to give that to the students. And they were very appreciative of that, because it helped the students, and it, again, it also fed their families.
Yeah, that's that's super important. And a point that Caleb may have made it, but more and more you're seeing non-traditional students, meaning like not right out of high school. So the need seems to be higher, because you don't have, you know, right out of high school, but these non-traditional students that have families, that have kids, and for that, for, you know, the food pantries to be accessible to students just makes it a lot easier on them.
Absolutely. I mean, it definitely, you know, having access to food is the basic need, and when that need is not being met, it definitely correlates with lower grades and a greater risk of dropout. So we have some other great programs in the state, such as Tennessee Promise and Tennessee Reconnect. And, you know, it's great that those opportunities are available, but there's additional student services that we can help provide.
Yeah. And I feel like that anybody that listens to this, you know, and from any side, there's not a negative to this. You know, I mean, like, it's like you said, it helps the students do better in school. So it's helping the, you know, graduation rate. It helps. And it's morally just good. People shouldn't be hungry. People should not be worried where their next meal is going to come from. That should be, you know, in my opinion, that should be one of the lowest things that somebody has to worry about. You know, so I just wanted to say, Brooke, thank you so much. You are have always been a mentor for me. And I wish you were my cousin. I feel like we are cousins. But seriously, thank you so much for all you do for higher education. I think that, you know, whenever a lot of the educational type sustainability programs, when people think of those, they think of, you know, K-12, and they think of like the children or but there's so much more and so much opportunity for these higher education universities and these institutions that you are paving the way. And you know, I didn't know that did you say Florida, or was it another state that is trying to sort of use our program and do something similar?
North Carolina, actually. I hadn't mentioned it, but it's North Carolina that's interested, and they are very advanced with their sustainability initiatives for higher ed. So
yes, they are really grateful. They do.
Yeah, so I'm really grateful for that opportunity to just expand it. And you know, Caleb, thank you for the compliments, but I tell you, it's really easy to do when you love your job and you feel, you know, you get to get that feedback from others that it's really making a difference.
Yeah, well, you definitely are in the office and out of the office. So we appreciate everything you do, Brooke, and thanks for coming on the podcast. We loved having you.
Thanks for having me.